for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Final service for the midwinter family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Watch Night Service and Communion. Clement Humbard is the minister.
Thank you, Jesus. I just want to thank you. Thank you for being so good.
Brother Humbard's going to come and minister to us, and we'll close with communion and see the this old year out and the new year of victory come in.
Amen.
I just appreciate Brother Clement being so faithful to help us out here at the campground to minister. It's just very rich to sit under his ministry. Clement, Brother Humbard, Lord, we thank you for your anointing that rests on Brother Humbard. We thank you for strength for him. We thank you for a clear mind. We thank you, Lord, for your presence and your anointing this evening as we worship you and hear your word. And then as we partake together of the communion, communicating your death and resurrection, we thank you for the privilege you've given us, and I praise you for it. Amen.
Amen. Well, everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Simon Peter, a servant. Isn't that odd that Apostle Paul and Peter and others that give us the inspired word of God still calls himself a servant? A love servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, well, the word of God says we're now an heir and a joint heir. And yes, but you still remain a servant. You're going to miss out in the end days of time what God's doing if you don't have the spirit of servant. This great move of God that is coming forth upon this earth, and how many believe God is not through yet and he's going to do it?
Amen.
I've often said that this last great move of God is in the sovereignty of God. We as Protestant believers or Pentecostal, which I don't like to use that name, everybody really got filled with the Holy Spirit left Pentecost as a feast day. Charismatic, but believers, spirit-filled believers. Amen?
Amen.
We've know practically nothing about the sovereignty of Almighty God. The early Dutch reformers, I believe, called it the crown rights of Emmanuel. Street language in Hot Springs is God can do what he wants to, with whom he wants to, where he wants to, how he wants to. He doesn't answer to you. He doesn't answer to me. He doesn't answer to headquarters of denomination. He doesn't want, he's not trying to please the opinions of Clement Humbard or anyone in this room. The sovereign of Almighty God, he said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
Amen.
And he said, it's not him that runneth or him that willeth, but it is God. So in the sovereignty of God, I really believe. I've done my homework on this. And I don't mean in one session. I mean down through the years. And I believe we're doomed for the greatest move of God yet just ahead. And why I stopped on this word servanthood, because that double portion of the Holy Spirit from Joel 2:28 and 2:29, God said he'd pour his Spirit out upon all flesh, you know that. But then he said, and there's something else, a double portion, a double anointing, upon my servants and handmaidens. Now, there will be always, God will have leaders, but not a one of these big shots that you know of, so-called big shots. See, in the kingdom of God, there's only one big shot, Jesus Christ. The rest of us are little shots, if we're shot at all. But it says, my servants and handmaidens, God's going to use. Now, he'll have leadership because This is pleasing to God, spiritual organization. And he'll have leadership, but it's not going to be the big shots that have their men around them, their henchmen, and you can't get to them after service, or you can't ask them anything. They're untouchable, unreachable, and also unteachable most.
Amen.
But upon his servants, God's going to use those with a servant's heart. Knows how to serve others. You consider others. Now, Peter said that he is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, an apostle of Jesus Christ. See, we are what God says we are, and you're not bragging or calling glory to yourself when you declare what God says.
Amen.
If God says I'm nothing, I'm nothing. But if God says I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, then I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And like I said, if he says we're heirs and joint heirs, you can say it. I had a message recently. I preached on the benediction in the Lord's Prayer here. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And I had the people by faith. Any of you here? I had you by faith to say, mine is the kingdom. Boy, people tremble. I said, go ahead and say it. Mine is the power. Oh, no. Power belongs to God. Mine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. Then I got into the Word of God and showed you that Jesus said in Luke 12 or 13 chapter, little flock, I give you the kingdom. Well, now, if he gives us the kingdom, no need saying we don't have the kingdom, and that's in the future. There are past, present, and future aspects of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is a reality right now. You enter it, Jesus said, John the 3rd chapter, you enter it by the new birth. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, Romans 14:17. It's righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. So you and I partake of God's righteousness. He gives us a kingdom. Then we hear everybody say, well, you know, I don't have anything. I'm just a poor little nobody. And I've heard person after person say, I don't have any power. Never did have. Well, Jesus, either you're lying or Jesus is lying, or you're false or Jesus is false. He said, you go and tarry in Luke 24:49. You go and tarry in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. It wasn't their power, but God's power in these earthly vessels. It made a difference who belonged to God and who didn't belong to God. In 1 Thessalonians, I believe about verse 5, Apostle Paul said, or somewhere along there, he said, when I came into you, I came not only with word, but in power, that you might know what manner of men we are, whether we're from God or not from God. Then in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you shall receive what?
Power.
Who? You, me, we, us. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So why do we lie? It's not humility to claim something that's opposite of what Jesus Christ said or the Word of God plainly teaches. And then, oh, I have to hit on it again. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and what?
Glory.
Well, Brother Clem, I got to get you after service and show you in the Old Testament. Yeah, I've got the word. I've got it here. God said, idols of wood and stone I won't share my glory with. But he's anxious to share his glory with people who are humbly broken walking before him. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, 17th chapter, the true Lord's Prayer, he said, Father, give me the glory that I had before the foundation of the world. Then in verse 22, he said, Father, I'm going to share that glory with this little handful of people, with his own.
Amen.
John 17:22. We are to share the glory, and this is the age and dispensation of the grace and glory of God.
Amen.
The glory of God should be upon the church.
The
glory, the Shekinah glory of God should make our face radiant with the divine love and power of Almighty God. The glory of God should give us divine health. I can't help it. If you and I are not living in it, not just healing, but divine health. This is late in the day to claim those promises. God said He'd renew our youth. Bless the Lord my soul and all that is in me. Bless the Lord my soul and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Who healeth some of your diseases. Who redeemeth thy life. Now this is not the spirit soul, the eternal soul. Who redeemeth thy present physical earthly life from what? Destruction. Psalms 103 is what I'm quoting. What is the worst destruction that can come upon you? Death. Now wait a minute. Who redeemeth? Notice that word redeem. The only redemption that God ordained and has anything to do with is through shed, poured out blood. The life is in the blood. You are redeemed, the Bible said in Peter, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And incidentally, if you're going to talk about the incorruptible blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, may I remind you that it's a real honor and a blessing in humility before God to always say, like the Bible said, the precious blood or the incorruptible blood. Not just blood, 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 because now you've added the divinity onto it.
Amen.
Who redeemeth? Your spirit soul? Yes. But who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? We ought to be walking in that glory of God that we can eat anything. I mean, unless it's unclean. Pork and ham and a heavy meat diet, it won't keep you out of heaven, probably. You just get there a little ahead of the rest of us. How many would like to go to heaven? Tonight? Who redeemeth thy life? Who crowneth thee? I know this is trite, and it's like a Sunday school class right now, but put one hand or the other upon your... No, take it down. This is not superstition at all, and don't make a doctrine out of it. But the power of God, have anyone ever sensed and felt the power of God upon your hands or your body? If you'll take time to notice, don't make a doctrine out of it. Lord, forgive me if he doesn't want me to even mention this, but the power of God will be stronger in one hand or the other hand, and it will your whole lifetime. Oral Roberts knew this when he started his healing ministry. He had to get a certain hand on the people. I knew this before I knew that Oral Roberts did, and I knew that if God's power was in a tangible, visible, electronic, vibrating way, is in my left hand, not my right. That wasn't superstition. So if I touch a person, sometimes I want to bless them. And they think, well, why doesn't he grab with his right hand? I touch with the left hand. All right, now, whichever hand, if you're conscious, if you're not, we'll just use both hands or either hand or no hand, but put your hand up here. Who crowneth thee with what? Loving kindness and tender mercies, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Did you know what? We forget sometimes, for example, in healing. We tell people, oh, God will heal you. He healed in Old Testament days, so God doesn't change. He heals today. We tell them that God heals because Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, that he not only bore our sins, but he bore our sickness, and by his stripes we are healed. All of that is true. We tell God that tell the people Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus healed whatever he ever did. He still does today, or he'd be changed. And Hebrews 13:8 says he cannot change. He is the same. We tell people that God will heal through the prayer of faith, the anointing oil, the touch, even Peter's shadow, the spoken word. And we tell them about divine healing and say God will heal. But we've forgotten one thing. God will heal you because of his loving kindness. God loves us. God loves us. And he loves us greatly and deeply. Well, what did I do with my Bible? Thank you. Thank you. I better stick pretty close to it then. I hope you're not choked out with the word yet and shut down. All right. So, He said this. This Bible keeps turning its pages automatically. I don't know. But he said, you've obtained precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied. Later here he says, addition, you heard that some of that Sunday morning. Unto you through the knowledge of God of Christ Jesus. Now notice verse 3. According as his divine power hath given us a few things that we can drag through life, half backslidden, in and out, out more than in. All things that pertain to what? To life and godliness. All those things are yours. They're mine. We've got to profane it. We've got to participate with it. Unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who have called us to what? To glory. There's a call to glory. 1 Peter 5:1, I think, it said this. The elders who among you I exhort, and them also elder, and a witness of the suffering Christ, and also a partaker of the glory. There it is again. That's 1 Peter 5:1. But let me get on down with this. For given to us exceeding great and precious promises. I haven't counted the promises in God's Word, but some of the reference Bibles mentions in footnotes, there are literally thousands of promises in God's Word. These precious promises, by these you might be what? What's your Bible say? Partakers. Partakers of the divine nature. Now, we're scared to death that some of us are going to become godlike. But if I understand my Bible at all in the plan of salvation, it pleases God for us to become godlike. Be restored with the original image of God in our life and the characteristics of God with that divine nature. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took human nature that we might be partakers of the divine nature. God became like a man that man can become like God. Now, don't flip your lid because I'm speaking of divinity. He said here, the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 1 John, 2nd chapter, verse 15 through 17, said, love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. These things are the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of a life. Oh, lust of the flesh, David's sin. That's just one example. Lust of the eye, Ahab and Jezebel, wanting Naboth's vineyard. Pride of life, the rich man's sin. My goods, my barns. God shakes his head and said, thou fool, tonight your soul is required of thee. Then whose goods will this go to? It was mentioned here about the Bible camp. I believe Brother or Dr. Noel on the peace offering the other night. How many participated in that? Do you remember what I'm talking about? Well, I tell you, that's glorious. We went home just really blessed because we participated in that. But I believe it was mentioned that night about, well, I'm going to mention again, wills and trust. If God takes you home, your money, even in advance or after you leave, could still be used for the kingdom of God. And people say, well, I'm going to take care of my relatives. Well, I told you about Aunt Lucy. My dad went to her. He's a minister, and he said, Aunt Lucy, you come to the tabernacle, but you support your own church, and you support one of the national ministries, and that I'm not asking you for a dollar, but said, you know, your health has been failing, and you won't talk faith, and you won't talk belief, and said, you have all this wealth. Said, well, you know, I'm going to give it to my nephew. I've willed it to him. Said, I know he's mean as the devil. But when the attorney reads the will and he sees that dear old Aunt Lucy, a saint of God, left him all this money, he'll weep and cry and repent. My dad said, that's a false hope, dear one. I hope God will open your eyes of understanding. She died. Guess what the nephew did? He put in what they call that damn time roadhouses, one south of town and one north of town, and squandered all of it. So she goes over in heaven, God bless her, empty-handed. Isn't it awful? Paul said in Corinthians that when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, this is believers, that some will be there with works that will be burned by fire. Oh, God, spare me from coming up at the judgment seat of Christ and have an armload of leaves. Nothing. Something that can be destroyed and no eternal reward. Someone says, well, God's no respecter of person if he rewards one about... No, no. God's no respecter of person. If one person gives their life on the missionary field and goes through persecution and all the rest are a martyr for Christ, and then a lazy, no-good Christian here in America, surface religion, plays religion, barely saved, if God gave them both the same reward over in heaven, he wouldn't be a just God. There are degrees of punishment in hell, and there's degrees of rewards over in glory.
Amen.
Let's not miss the rewards. So he called us to glory and virtue. We're living in the last of the last days. One thing we're doing tonight, we are participating in communion. Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper. Some call it the Eucharist because of the giving of thanks. But Jesus Christ designated it, 1 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 20, as the Lord's Supper. It's by Him. And in a sense, it is partaking with Him. Now, there's mysteries in God's Word. I'm not talking about this like the 13 mysteries necessarily in Matthew, because that's just a little teaching about the mysteries of the kingdom and so forth, and the kingdom of heaven that Jesus said. But in God's Word, how many have had God to reveal something to you that from His Word and by His Spirit that you never knew before? Did you notice after the true revelation? Well, first of all, if it's a true revelation of God, you can base it on God's eternal Word. It'll always be something there to base on in the mouth of two or three. Now, the next thing, if it's a true revelation of God, it never does away with who we are and what we know in Christ already. Anytime some goofball comes down the pike and they have something new up their sleeve and it tries to destroy all the fundamental things that you've been operating on all these years with the Bible and God's been blessing you, hold it off like this. Just take your time. Because whatever God does, it builds upon that solid foundation that is already laid in your life and your heart as you walk on with God. But here's where we're heading. Even after God reveals the mystery, there's still a mystery to it. Now, what are you talking about, Brother Clem? Well, simply said, none of us get it all and know it all. Now, God has ordained this. Let me just, a few minutes, take off on this. We as the church, we must have something to exist for. An ongoing challenge. An objective. A defined goal. Now, in your spiritual life, the goal is never that you attain it and then you're there. It is a direction. It is a road to take. It is a life to live. It is a sacrifice daily to be offered unto God. It is a fasting life. It is a life to be clothed with Christ. See, you even on the road things, a lot of people, you know, they teach holiness perfection. Well, if people want to be godly and holy, the Bible does say, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, and be ye holy for I am holy. I have no qualms with that. But here's what I'm talking about. You don't get a spirit-filled life or wholly sanctified. Oh, praise God, I got it in the revival. What happens? You start backsliding from that moment on. My dad always said it's like riding a bicycle. You better keep pedaling or you'll get off pretty quickly. Now, the church has got to have a rallying effort, a battle cry, a new revelation from God with accompanying new ministry of the Spirit to sustain and create desire to increase our possibilities that we can go forth with a distinct mandate of the next great step, purpose, plan, and program of a sovereign God. Here's what's happened in America. Now, I wasn't born yesterday. I've been in church more than anybody in this room. I mean, probably time I was 6 years old, every night in meeting.
In my own ministry, 1 year I had one night out. One night. Then I went to someone's meeting that night. Listen to him. But here's what's happened in America. God told them in the early days in California, the great worldwide camp meeting, and no one writes about this. You can't find it. The keeper of the library up there in Springfield, Missouri, this is all new to him. He died recently, Hart Armstrong, but finally he was there for several years. And then he had his own ministry out of Wichita, Kansas. But Hart Armstrong was amazed that no one, and he could find no written material. They had a big tent city. You could get lost in it in Los Angeles before World War I. Ms. Woodworth Eder was the night speaker for much of it. It lasted months. People were from all over the world there. Later, 400 ministers met in Malvern, Arkansas. Then a little later, a few months later, they came from all over the nation to Whittington Park up here in Hot Springs. There's a plaque down on the street, one or two. It says, near this place, the Assembly of God was organized in 1914. And at the recent time, it is always the number one denomination in size to carry the mantle of have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed. Then in all of these meetings, they had tongues, interpretation of tongues, dreams and visions and prophecy. Now, here's what they don't want you to know. God, oh, they claimed, oh, we've heard from God. We've heard from God at the time. God said, this great outpouring in the last days is not for you to build new churches or make a new denomination. This is to leap. I'm just paraphrasing the different that came for years, actually. Said, outpouring of my spirit is upon all flesh, all denominations, all people around this world, and don't you form a little exclusive group. You belong to the Assembly of God. You belong to the Church of God. You belong to this or that or the other. That's a lot of silly kids play. Amen. Now, God started this thing, and what happened? Man, all he knew, God bless these men. Now, my dad is in the founder's picture of those seven or eight men of the Assembly of God. He's the tall, young fellow, 24 years old, tall and rested and the youngest. He didn't want any picture. He said, I'm not the founder of anything. And God said, don't found or organize anything. They said, the sergeant of arms went out and pulled him just a little and almost carried him, put him up because the men said, without Brother Humber, there'll be no picture. Once in a while, you see that picture published, and that young fellow's my dad. But after the meeting in Whittington Park, some of the men, and God bless them, good men, but all they knew, all their life's organization, you know. What does headquarters say about it? We've got to organize this thing. They stayed at the old Apollo Theater between the Majestic and the Arlington Hotel, and when many of them said, we got to be true to what God said, had left town. Now, this great outpouring of the Spirit of God on this earth, God's going to do something, what have we done? We think we know it all, got it all. You can go, and I'm not trying to run the denomination down, but you can visit Assembly of God Church in this county, and in this state and across this nation, and most of them are dead as a doornail. They're not the only one. You know why? We've been there. We've done that. And if we feel like we've arrived and been there and done that, we're on the wrong track some way. Yeah, I'm wholly sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, plop, then what happens? We attended a local church not long ago. Glenn and some from the camp were there. And we were told by people go to that church the time, and so we came in a half hour late. They didn't give us the right time. But you know what the minister did? He got up and told seven jokes. Took about 15 or 20 minutes telling jokes. A visiting pastor that was a friend of the local pastor. We don't need jokes in the pulpit. We need, thus saith the Word of God, turn in your Bible and go and such and such. And I'll just tell you something else. We don't have hardly any preachers in America. We have exhorters. And that can do something. That can build up the body of Christ. But we need preachers. John the Baptist
We need men like from another world with a message from another world. We need men to stand out and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn on your TV. I can get three religious stations lately. Sometimes we don't have television months. I don't miss a thing. I was on television 4 years daily with a gospel program on a big CBS station before I had a television in my own home. Too busy. Had little children there, and I couldn't control them every minute. You can do without a lot of these things. We have very, you can turn on television and listen. Exhorting. And all of the cute little stories and all the rest. Well, I may tell you some stories tonight before this is over, but I want to tell you, it's not to make you laugh. Amen. Although we have missed one thing with Holy Communion, it should be a time of rejoicing. Remembering the Lord's death, with being solemn and with due reverence and respect, but it ought to be a time of participating with one another and communion with one another and the whole family in heaven and earth that is named by that precious name and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and God Himself. But when an individual, a local church, or a business establishment, a society, a people, or a nation think they've arrived, reached the utmost pinnacle, conquered every foe, met every challenge, been there, done that, then the life force, the motivation, the excitement, all slackened, and the love of adventure and driving desire, the will to pursue and the effort to accomplish diminishes, and ignorance and apathy never grasp the fact that whatever it took to become in the natural world and the spiritual world, it takes that and a little bit more to continue and remain. Someone say amen. These truths are exemplified by the churches in Revelation. Ephesus left the first love, was fallen. Smyrna failed in trials and persecution. Pergamum, they backslid and believed false doctrine and dwelt in worldly living. Thyatira was seduced by Jezebel. Sardis became dead, had a name, but were dead. Philadelphia had a little strength, but still an open door before them, but I guess too weak to even go through the open door. Laodicea in the book of Revelation is the final state of the apostate with Christ. He didn't, you know, he said, my church at Ephesus, my church at Smyrna, my church at Thyatira, my church at Pergamos, my church filled up. When he came to Laodicea, the last church of the last church period, he said to the church of the Laodiceans, the laity is ruling the church, voting in, voting out, telling the preacher what to preach and not to preach, telling him how long to conduct the services. I know a godly man, but he's joined a denomination. His Sunday morning sermons are 12 minutes. The board tells him how long to preach, and he better shut up, or he'll be looking for another church. These things shouldn't be. Christ outside knocking on the individual heart. God wants to constant challenge a divine purpose before us until it's all over. This is the only way. Not to move on is to slide back. Spirituality to me is evaporative. You know what? You can pray an hour a day. Get up early and pray an hour a day, hour a day, hour a day. And boy, it'll build up in wonderful things in your life. Then stop 3 days. Then you go back and you think you're going to pick it up right. Doesn't work that way, does it? You ever leave cleaning fluid or gasoline out in an open container? I consider our spirituality about the same. Brother, if you neglect it, it evaporates. I don't know a better word to use. So, Peter said that we are partakers of the divine nature of Almighty God. Now, I was talking to someone, I guess, last night here, and something came up, and I said, you know, I felt all this week that we have only 4 years left as we know it now. I'm not setting times. I'm not setting seasons. But But I believe this is from the Lord, that America's weighed in the balance and found wanting. If we don't have a great turning to God, we'll see awful times ahead. Calamity. You see how easily the mad cow disease, a new strain of flu, anthrax, all of these things. The greatest terrorist is within the American people, not outside to this point. Are we better than Iranians? The little earth shake. And the latest report, I think, was 28,000 confirmed dead in Iran the last 3 or 4 days. Right here in mid-America, they had the nation, North America's greatest earthquake. It was the New Madrid fault from New Madrid, Missouri, down near Blytheville, Arkansas, down to Walnut Ridge. The Mississippi River ran backwards. I think it's Kentucky Lake in Tennessee was formed. And the geologists and all know this. This happened 160 or 70 years ago, and it's the worst earthquake that ever hit the North American continent. Now, they tell us about this hot water here, but I want to tell you something. They tell you under pressure that water is getting hot and shooting out. Well, I want to tell you in the heart of the earth, it's a molten fire. And there's evidence of volcanic action all around this city. Look at the big lava rock on Arlington Lawn. They didn't bring that from South America. Look over, I think it's at Murfreesboro. There's a diamond mine. Geologists say there are no natural diamonds unless there's volcanic action, and these cones of the volcano, sometime like in South Africa, reach out 50, 60, 70 miles, the cone. Just be sure we're all ready to live, ready to die, ready to go up with the Lord, are ready for great persecution. Well, brother, hallelujah. We ain't going to go through the great persecution. Tell 27 million Russian Christians it's already in glory that. Tell 67 million Chinese Christians that were slaughtered in the last few years for their faith. Tell them out in Ethiopia at least 2 million Christians the last 3 or 4 years have been slaughtered for their faith. They only want the Christians killed. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Amen.
Read Hebrews 11th chapter, then say, bless God, God won't let his little children suffer. It seemed like the closer they were to God and more spiritual they were, more suffering came. Some of them wouldn't even take the escape from death God gave them because they knew they'd have. Read Hebrews 11 chapter. They knew they had a more glorious resurrection. Now, I didn't say the end of the world or Christians be gone 4 years. I said I am convinced by God giving me this feeling all week long. It's like a whispering. America, 4 years as you know it. 4 years as you know it. Now, what do you want God to do in your life? We're coming down to the end of the year, and I don't make much of that because that's man's calendar anyway. But what do you want God to do this year? Now, I believe that through this camp, everybody in this place is delivered or should be delivered by this moment. If there's someone that's not delivered, you just hold it a minute. Everyone in this place should be healed. And if you're not healed, just hold it a minute. Everyone in this camp should be saved. And if you're not saved, just wait a moment. Now, everybody in this camp ought to have spiritual victory. And if you don't have spiritual victory, how many like the Word of God? How many like the ministry of Jesus? How many like to read about the early New Testament church and all the things happening? All right. If you're not healed, if you're not delivered, I'm going to take this liberty. If you're not saved, I don't want any prayer for you. You've had that all week. I want you to thoroughly make up your mind, the time and the place. Things are going to be different. You're going to get what you came for. I know I made a lot of enemies by making this statement, but nowhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or the book of Acts, or John, do you find anyone praying for the sick? Not a one. You found them healing the sick. One way it can come is by prayer, of course, James 5th chapter. But I told you that wasn't a great thing. That was the safety net to catch those 12 tribes scattered abroad. If they don't have miracles of healing and don't have prophets, don't have evangelists. Now, if any minister feels free to come up here with me right hurriedly, I want you to come and stand, and then I'm going to invite anyone up here. If you're not saved, if you're not healed, if you're not delivered. Now, they cast out demons instantly. And that should be our example. And we're not living like they did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. If you've got faith in these men of God that's ministered to you, and you don't want to go home defeated, I want you to come up here. But I'm asking these ministers this one time, don't pray for anybody. You've already prayed. You've been praying today. You were in your own bedroom praying. You were driving your automobile praying. I spent most of the afternoon myself seeking God and praying. And if you... Oh, Lord, help us. See, if I pray and pray and moan and groan over you for healing, I have a good excuse. It's easy for me to get out of that. But the great miracles and the healing revivals across America... And I had one of the largest tents going and in auditorium. And I knew almost all of these in healing ministry. We always say they prayed for the sick. Not really. You think Oral Roberts prayed for over 1 million people? May I touch you, brother? Oral Roberts said, be made whole in Jesus' name. Be made whole in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Once in a while, he'd take a little child. And see, audience, have compassion. Pray with me for this little child that can't stand. And he'd have the audience pray. That was the exception, not the rule. Jesus didn't send anyone to pray for the sick. Read it out of the Bible to me. He said, you go heal the sick. Now, we want to be examples of the Lord. In other words, this comes by fasting and prayer, Jesus said in the 9th chapter. But that's not, this brother comes sick, then we'll all fast and pray for hours and days, try to get him well. We ought to already be fasted and prayed up. He comes, we ought to speak peace. Anyone remain sick here tonight and you want God to heal you? With the healing touch or point of contact? Or through the Word of God? Hey, is this scripture or not? Everybody's frozen. Lift your hand and say, by his stripes I'm healed. When?
Now.
It's already done 2,000 years ago. Praise God. All right. I see that. Let me get something that's really up on my heart. I'll try to be very brief here because I've got 4 pages of notes and I've preached 1 page, but forget it. I mean, I just wrote out this afternoon and tonight since I got here. You know the first ingredient of a miracle? Impossibility. If you have an impossibility, be the happiest person on earth. Now I'm ready for a miracle. The second ingredient in a miracle is a little faith in a big God. You don't need worlds of faith. Jesus said if you have the least amount of New Testament seed faith, mustard seed, in the Holy Land, it's so small that you just... like that, blow all of them out of your hand. You don't need great faith. He said the mustard seed faith, you can do the biggest thing. Say to this mountain, Lord, move the mountain. Move. No. Call all their prayer meeting to move the mountain. No. He said if you have the smallest little mustard seed faith, you'll say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast in yonder sea. Doubt not in your heart, it shall be according to your word. Who said that? Did he ever lie? Impossibility? Then a little faith in a big God. Not worlds of faith. 2 or 3 times in my lifetime, it's always a woman. They want something done. They say, I got worlds of faith, Brother Humbert. And I just bow down and say, I don't. Please put your hand on my head. I said, I'm still trying to get the mustard seed faith. Third ingredient of miracle is be thoroughly. Make up your mind and a thorough conviction that about God can meet your needs. You know, most everything Christians believe, it's not a God-given conviction. I mean, a God-given conviction. You have it. You may not live up to it, but you'll have that conviction all your lifetime. Now, the fourth ingredient of a miracle is get definite with God for definite results. You've heard testimonies. People said, I came to this meeting to get thus and thus, and that's what God did. To get definite with God for definite results. Next thing, and all of us have trouble with this one. When you read the last page of a book, what do you normally do? You close the book. We never close the case for victory. We just leave it open-ended. You know any true believer, if you have a God-given conviction by His stripes you're healed, man can't bring you there. Preacher can't preach you there hardly. Well, it's not going to work. But if you come to that place, especially in the quietness of your own prayer closet, you come to that place by His stripes you're healed, you can get up and pass through that place or that doorway, I'm healed regardless of his pain. I'm healed. And you know what? New Testament faith believes something so before it is so because God's declared it so. And normally the way God works, unless it's a mercy miracle, you've got to believe and receive. Is that right? Now, you believe and then it takes a split second. Even salvation works this way. Or a few minutes. Or a day. We prayed for this woman, a nurse, local nurse, and had all of these growths in her body, and her own doctors in the hospital here wouldn't touch her with a 10-foot pole. They said, it'd kill you. She called weeping on the phone and went over there, and we'd start talking about the glory of God. All at once, she just lifted her hand and said, thank God I'm healed. I got up, said, let's go. Praise God. I agree with her. She's healed. We didn't pray. One word. I'm not ashamed of prayer. You can pray in all things. But I'll tell you, we're not getting results, and it's high time we tried something else. We left there. She called a couple of days, said, when I claimed my healing, I got sick as a dog. Said the second night, but I just still said, this is a counterfeit. I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. Got up during the night, went to the bathroom, and passed corruption and growth out of her body. And then her healing was manifest. Well, say, give me, Lord. Catch me and I'll jump, Lord. Heal me and I'll believe it. Then that is closing the case for victory. Now, in this last day of time, in this year, I want you, how many consider yourself that you're in a divine romance with God? An intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you love Him, and He loves you, and you love Him not for what He does, but who He is and who He's made you. How many of you are on that plane that you don't just give me all the time, but see who you are in Christ? God said, Ezekiel, show the house to the house. They don't even know who they are. There's such a place in God that you don't seek God for things. That's what Jesus headlined when He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, these things will be added. Who you are in God. Not what God can do. He'll do the doing. All right, now I want you, if you're a spiritual believer, I want you to realize that the end and beginning of a dispensation, angelic activity is increased. Angels are ministering spirits, their salvation, Hebrews says. Angels are appearing. Most of them I see are in human form. Sometimes they just disappear. One I saw was in glistening. I'll tell you, I was in a different world for 3 days. You don't seek God to see an angel, but angels want to be seen, and they're not going to be seen by every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Angels can speak to you. They can bring a message from God. I've had them. Sometimes it's danger or highway or something else. Or even they'll tell you the moment of someone's death. Now, why I'm doing this way, when God speaks to me, I can't tell you which direction it comes from. But when an angel speaks, I always know which direction. It may not be that way with you, but I know which direction the angel speaks. But God's voice, it surrounds me. And sometimes in correction, it's inner. And it kicks me like a bay mule and hurts me. When God corrects. Angelic ministry. See, the dispensations overlap. We're getting to the close of this, end of this dispensation, and whatever's going to be in the future is becoming now. They start getting overlapping and mixing. heavenly music and singing. Oh, I wish I had more time. One time in my life, unexpectedly, I heard 20 minutes of heavenly music. Most beautiful. I studied music seriously when I was young. It's Hebraic-type music with a choir, and I like symphony music. Our youngest daughter played in a symphony orchestra 4 years of violin in Florida, and I love most symphony, not modern symphony, but most of the old ones. And most of those authors were dedicated Christian men. But heavenly music and singing. Then Christ leading the congregation in praises to God. Most awesome thing I've ever experienced in my ministry, and some of you have heard the story, how I tried to dismiss 3 times and God said no. To a packed and jammed audience that was fanning, and kids' church had come in, standing in the aisles, packed out. The air conditioning was not completely broken, but half out, and everybody sweating, and it's already about 1:15. I didn't hold them that late. But I tried to dismiss when the pastor said, "Now, Brother Clem, come up here and dismiss." And I walked up the pulpit, and God said no 3 times. Then a man leaped off the organ bench and ran that auditorium. Maybe it's the second time God said don't. Then he lifted his finger and said 2 sentences to me. "I'm not going to tell you what he said." God spoke in an audible voice to me in Phil Kerr's Monday night meeting after that Monday night meeting in California many years ago, the great rallies Phil Kerr used to hold. And our family was the special guest that night and had the whole program. And when I was walking out after packed the musical instrument, God said 4 words to me, and I've never told them to anyone. Everything God does is not to blab to every Tom, Dick, and Harry and cast your pearls before swine and render that which is holy unto dogs. Some of the things he wants you to know are intimate relationship with you and him. And keep your mouth shut and ponder these things like Mary did, ponder in her heart till the proper time, and the proper time may be over in glory and never on this earth at all. Christ leading, he led the congregation in praise to God. It broke out instantly. I backed off the corner. Someone had said, "Take this watch today." I don't wear a watch. And I timed it 27 and a half minutes. That congregation praised God. Every boy, every girl, every baby, everybody in that place. And no one said, "Everybody praise the Lord." Well, some of us need pumped up. I didn't say one hallelujah, one amen. It was Psalms 22:22. Christ said, "I will reveal the name to my brethren, and I will lead the resurrected Savior. I will lead the congregation in praises to God." Wouldn't you like to be in a meeting like that? Is when the old TBN just went wild, but I said, "I'm not talking about it." The pastor said, "Our congregation doesn't do this. Please, Brother Clem, explain what happened." I said, "You were there, you explained." When God does great things, to me, it always humbles me, and I want to hide away. I don't want to run out and blab it to everybody. It's so precious. Although hundreds of people did participate. The ministry of angels, heavenly music and singing, Christ leading the congregation in praise to God, then singing in the Spirit. Did you not know what God sang the worlds into existence? The creation hymn in Genesis. I can take you all through. And you know the harmony of the planets. And God said to Job, "Where were you when the stars sang together?" God is a God of music and a God of singing. The Bible said he'll rejoice with singing over us. And it said, "God is my song." We better get in Colossians and Galatians where it said, singing, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. One is just for you. And the other portion of Scripture, it's for also for others. But you know, Apostle Paul, he comes, "Oh, wait a minute. Can I have just a few more minutes?" Jesus sang when he's on this earth. Mary sang. The angels sang. They did at the birth of Christ. And did you not know that Jesus sang? He even sang on the cross. Any Hebrew, true Israelite person, when they quoted a psalm, they never quoted it. It's like you and me saying, we wouldn't say to someone, Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. If we're going to say that, we say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And all of the prophecies Jesus used in his ministry, is it not written? And didn't the prophets say thus and thus? He was singing the songs of God. Even in the Psalms, it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when he's hanging on the cross, he said, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? We better get singing. Paul sang. If you don't believe Apostle Paul sang, he and Silas sang in a Roman jail. In an earthquake. Singing in stocks and bonds and brutally beaten. The heart of God can't stand it. They could have murmured and complained and their bones would be over there in some prison today. But they sang praises to God at the midnight hour. Start singing, dancing on your trouble. Sing away your troubles and only your burden. All right. Apostle Paul sang the hymn. Go read it. 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. Though I speak with the tongue and of angels. You say, how you know that's a song? It is a song of love. And right after that 14th chapter, he said, I will sing in the Spirit. He's explaining what he'd just done. And I will sing in the Spirit. And I will sing with my understanding also. Out in South Coast in Africa. Oh, it was Port Elizabeth. Big downtown Presbyterian church in a grove of trees. Oh, a beautiful setting. Nice to speak. Now, sitting on the front row, pretty large church, a young lady way over started singing in the Spirit. She just sitting down and singing in the Spirit. I sat on that front row and sang every verse with her, right on, not knowing what I was singing. Not even know I was going to do that. And the oddest thing, how many believe God has a little humor too?
Amen.
When we quit singing, the pastor continued the service and he's speaking another language. I couldn't understand one word in English. He introduced a ladies' trio. I couldn't understand one word they said. And I felt like I was losing it mentally. I grasped and tried to understand, and I couldn't do it. And I was crying, oh, God, help me, unless you've got something entirely different for this service. Help me, help me. And right before he introduced me, all at once, I turned back, and I could understand English. Now, you don't seek those things, but you get in the spiritual realm. How about Joel 2:28 said that he poured out the Spirit in the last days, and you're sons and daughters of prophesy. But he said, old men see vision, young men dream dreams. That is one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit. And the very vehicle that moved the church in the book of Acts, go and study it, was vision.
Amen.
It was the very vehicle. And today, we're scared to death because some goofball shows up, you know, with some kind of crazy cockeyed, don't everybody hear the dream or vision. And we had shut and slammed the door on a great ministry of the Spirit that was prophesied by Joel and prophesied by Peter in Acts 2:17 and Joel 2:28. Somebody give me an amen.
Amen.
I was in a church in South Coast, and a lady had had a vision weeks before I ever got there. I never sent him a picture. She went to the pastor and described a man and said he's sitting way over here and the place is packed out. And the pastor said, oh, glory to God, that sounds good. Tell me more. She said the place is packed out and said, I saw these people sitting over there where no one sits on a long padded bench and said, you introduced our guest. And it was a fellow that leaped up with white hair and he started preaching. Pastor said he did what? Said he started preaching right where he was. He preached, turned around, and they had TV cameras, and is making film of this to send to other churches. But said he turned around and preached down, and it's a high platform. And said when he climbed the steps of the platform, only one way to get up there. Said he twisted backwards on the step like this and preached the congregation 2 or 3 minutes. Then he went on up the pulpit. Pastor just laughed and laughed and laughed. She never heard of me, never heard of my name. About 5 or 6 weeks later, I come to church packed out. We, our little family, we keep going and giving people the seats, the seats, the seats, the seats. Then we end up over there on that bench. It happened exactly like our vision. Boy, it's so wonderful. Get God in your life. Get God in you. Live in the miraculous. Live in the supernatural. Aren't you sick and tired of your and my old stinking religion? Let's get out of it. Let's worship God in spirit and in truth. I was using a Spanish translator in Florida. She knows classical Spanish. And I went back to the car. You know, 4 years of my life, I never lost anything, forgot anything. Never misplaced anything. That's the truth. It's good. What God did. But God permitted this. I left an attaché case in the car instead of bringing both in. I said, excuse me, lady. And when I came back, I don't know if she's praying with or not, but she's crying in her arms. We didn't know what's wrong. I thought, well, what on earth happened? She said, no, this highly educated, recognized by the university in Madrid, Spain, this lady. She said, 1 year ago to this date, I was out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and as at Higgins' meeting, he stopped his sermon, walked down the aisle in that big auditorium and came and pointed me out and said, lady, stand up. 1 year from today, there will be a man you've never seen before in your life, and he will ring your apartment, said, I see you in an apartment upstairs. He'll ring the door bell, and you come, and it'll be a white-haired man, and your life will never be the same. Boy, I love this kind of stuff. Now, let me tell you something else. You're listening to the only minister that never books in America. And I'll tell you why. Maybe I better start. Because everybody's not in the same walk or same spirit. But, brother, I came through a time when on my knees God would give me a sermon early at morning. He'd tell me which church to go to preach it. And I went, and most of them, they never knew me from Adam. And I didn't say one word to anybody, and I ended up in the pulpit. I mean in Baptist churches and Southern Baptist, not a little hole in the wall, a big thing packed and jammed out with TV cameras. One place God said, hurry, I give you a mess. Went over, it's packed out. 1,400 on one floor, packed out. Little wheel in the wheels. And I slipped in the audience. They had the singing, the choir, and all the rest. And boy, that Hammond organ, the pianist, just going all over the place. And here came that little crippled elder up, stopped at my... And these rows, real long, curved rows. He stopped, pointed, get your Bible, come here. Said, did you know, little bright brother, he said, did you know, that's what he said, that you're the preacher of this morning? I said, yeah. He pointed down the Bible. I stand there. He said, are you ready? I said, I'm ready. He said, let's go. You know what happened? They had a special man coming from overseas, and somewhere they put him on the wrong plane and sent him to Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, you start living. Here's what I'm talking about. Every one of us should live somewhat in the sovereignty of Almighty God. I find when I go overseas, it's easy to live in the sovereignty of God. But come back in America, well, who are you? What is it? Let's figure this out. Get your date book. Now, what do you believe about the ten-toed kingdom and this and that and the other? And oh, what do you believe about Daniel's 70th week? My Lord and my God, the world is dying, going to hell, and Christ is going to end this whole thing up, and we're playing around. Silly man-made religion, man-made results. God have mercy on us. We're going into communion. But I must mention one other little thing. And God didn't want me to tell all of this that happened last Sunday or I could recollect it on my mind. But as you walk with God in the sovereignty of God, you'll get the past, present, and future mixed up. And God will permit you, and you didn't have a dream or vision, He'll permit you until people correct you or tell you differently, you've already lived tomorrow. I've had it to happen. See, God, there's no past, present, future with God. And you'll get your days mixed up. Well, this is not a formal sermon. I do a lot better than this time and time again. But let me just say this. Christ ordained three ordinances for us. What are they? Before He left this earth. Baptism, yes. Communion, yes. And the reference Bible doesn't say this, but I say it and I stick my guns past you. He said, when the bridegroom leaves, the children of the bridegroom will fast. So we ought to fast. Do without a meal or a day or two or 3 days or whatever. My dad fasted 87 days. My longest fast, just drinking water, has been 21 days. And I didn't tell people when I was fasting that I was fasting. But I'll tell you, it won't kill you. It'll get all the toxins out of your body and make you sick when that poison gets out of your body. But after 2 or 3 days, you'll feel like a million. Now, Jesus said, as often as you do this, you well know that we have the symbol of the bruised, broken body of Christ, the bread. And we have the cup. It's a symbol of His blood. Now, I said that was precious blood, incorruptible blood. Where is that blood now? It's the mercy seat of God. Hebrews said Christ went through the heavens with His own blood. Nobody's going to heaven without His blood. It took the precious blood for Him to go to heaven. It's going to take the precious blood for each one of us to go to heaven. He offered that the mercy seat. Since it's incorruptible, it's still alive right today. If you and I were permitted to enter the courts of heaven with an atomic microscope, I said, this is just imaginative, but I'm trying to get a truth over. And we would take a surgeon's needle and touch in that blood and put it under atomic microscope. Scientists would say, this blood is alive. It's incorruptible. These songs like Blood Stained the Old Rugged Cross, I don't know the miracle, but I believe with the lymph fluid coming out of Him, water and blood, I believe angels caught the blood and preserved. Because how did He have it? You remember Mary started touching? He says, don't Mary. I haven't ascended to the Father, my God and your God yet. He had to ascend with His own blood and offer it to the mercy seat. Now, this wine, fruit of the vine, represents that precious blood. You have no right or authority to leave this place with one doubt. What is not of faith is sin. Or one sin in your life. You come clean with God. God forgives you. And you repent and you hate sin enough that you turn from it. That's what repentance is. Then, the bread. Not a one of us have the authority to take of this cup and of this bread and remain sick or diseased. Because by His bruised, broken body. That's why in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, Paul's explaining, I received this directly from the Lord, he said, probably when he was out in Arabia 3 years, like he mentioned in Galatians. And he said, the Lord, that same night, how He broke the bread and took the cup. And He said, you have to take it. Don't let you drink unworthily. Now, we're never worthy. King James says unworthy. But the word actually meant without due respect and honor. Make it a focus in on it. It's a symbol that He has ordained. And then, when we take that bread, He said, some do not discern the body of Christ. Now, first of all, they don't discern the physical body that was bruised and broken. Secondly, they don't discern the body of Christ. We're one. The members of the body of Christ. And He said, some are sick because of this. And some are asleep, which meant dead. They were in the cemetery outside of Corinth, over there in Greece, because they did not partake. But we are partakers of His divine nature. What He is, we are becoming. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he that knew no sin became sin that we might become what? The righteous of God. Lift your hand and say, I am the righteousness of God. You say, Brother Clem, I can't say that. I'm not really. Well, until you start declaring it, the Holy Spirit has no ground to work in your life. You start declaring it, and then it'll work itself out in your life. That's why the psalmist said, I am love. Or in 1 John 4:17, as He is. It says, God is love. God is love. Said, as He is love, so are we in this present world. Lift your hand and say, I am love.
I am love.
See? You don't ask God for love, you become partaker of the divine nature. And you don't try to love or even love your enemies. And then the psalmist said, I am prayer. You don't try to pray, you are prayer. Your whole life, your whole desire is prayer. You'll have formal prayers and all the rest, but my Lord, you don't have to have a church, you don't have to go through anything. You can pray. You can pray while you're eating, you can pray while people are talking, and you can pray here to here while you're talking. Partaker of the divine nature.
So I'm going to ask for some help here. Ministers, if you'd care to come up. If not, we'll just use the men. Thank you. If you will partake and just put your mind on the Lord, we're going to bless these elements and put your mind upon the Lord and just hold momentarily and get your mind on the Lord. The bread, the cup. Through the cup, the blood, we have forgiveness of sins. Through the bread, we have health, life. And then we'll all partake together. Brother, would you bless this bread for us in Jesus' name? Dear brother, would you hold this and bless the cup? Yes? Please, thank you. Brother, would you come up? Brother, would you come up? Take and start at the back, if you will, and meet them. You could start at the back and then come up and meet them. Or what? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. As often as you do this, you do show forth the Lord's death until He comes. We remember Calvary. We remember the Christ of Calvary. Remember what He bore on the cross. Remember His seven cries from the cross. Lord Jesus, we do it in remembrance of You. Shall we eat together? Resurrection and life, the healing streams of Calvary for our body from the top of the head to the soles of the feet. Muscle, nerve, sinew, quickened by the power of God. Do you feel God's healing power upon you there? So strong here. Say amen. And our only hope of eternal life in heaven, a symbol of His precious blood shed upon Calvary for the sins of the world. Shall we drink together? Every doubt, every sin, Lord, every hesitant spirit, every foul, evil force touching any life of obsession of the mind, oppression, or possession, set free by the power that is in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Strength for the journey. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anyone want to say anything before we part here tonight? God bless. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Everybody in agreement with that, say amen. All right. Praise God. Greet one another. The Lord bless you. We'll collect your containers here in the center aisle.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.